turn, if you would, to Matthew 13:3. I want to share something this morning. Please be attentive. Be alert. God is equipping us to do signs and wonders. I will not be satisfied until I hear testimonies of blind eyes opening, deaf ears opening, and we all go, oh, cool. Amen? When someone comes, well, I play for a blind person and they were healed, we'll go, thank you, Jesus. Not screaming, but just, well, praise God, that's great, because it happens so much. Amen? That's where my heart is. And then we're able to preach the gospel and see people saved and the way the kingdom is brought. Well, what I want to talk about this morning, this is the first of a series. You ready? Things that squelch Rhema words. I did a series on Rhema. Rhema is a Greek word for the living word, not the Logos written. But Rhema is the spoken word of the Spirit that speaks to us. And really the secret to all supernatural ministry is a Rhema word. When you speak a word, you hear. Faith comes by what? Hearing by the word. That's an interesting phrase. Faith doesn't just come by hearing the word. Faith comes by hearing by the word. Knowing the word creates in you an ability to hear the Rhema word. And it's the Rhema word where faith comes. Hearing the living Christ speaking to you in a situation. God speaks Rhema words when you're there. Some of y'all went out witnessing last night. Is that true? Casey, you said a couple of y'all went out? When you're out there in front of these gangster types, is that a good word? That's when you hear the Holy Spirit, right? When you're there with them, not in your living room or at home. You have to be out there. When you lay hands on someone, that's when God's going to speak to you then. When you do it, when you connect the circuit, the Rhema word. But I'm going to show you in Scripture, Christ told us there are things that will squelch it. Matthew 13, he gave a whole parable about it. You ready? We're going to look at this parable from a whole different direction. You've heard this parable before, Matthew 13:3. He spake many things unto them, saying, behold, a sower went forth to sow. Sowing seed. And he sowed some seed, fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some seed fell on the stony ground. Stony places, when they didn't have much earth, so they sprung up because there wasn't any depth of earth. When the sun came up, it was scorched, and because there was no root, they withered away. Some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up, choked the little seedlings. Other fell on good ground, brought forth fruits, 100, 60, and 30-fold. Who have ears, let him hear. You know, Jesus was saying something here. He says, now listen, now let's look at the interpretation. Verse 18, they asked him, what do you mean by that? Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone hears a word of the kingdom, stop right there. Most people look at this parable as an initial word to be saved. Right? We relegate it to people that are, they saved, but born again, justified, and the hindrances. I would submit it's far, far more than that. He's talking about a lifestyle of the kingdom because he says it's a word of the kingdom. I believe the Holy Spirit, I would submit to you, okay, goes around sowing seed every day. He tosses the seed. We live by the Rhema. And the enemy is not asleep. See, the enemy knows that signs and wonders mess up his game plan in people's lives. The enemy knows when you move in signs and wonders and respond to the Rhema word, it smashes in the kingdom of heaven, comes into this kingdom, and people open their heart and are saved. And so the Lord very much wants us to understand and to hear and respond to his Rhema word. Because he casts a seed. I think every day the Holy Spirit's casting seed, Rhema's quickened words to us. The problem is, a lot of times it's squelched. We can't hear the Rhema. Man does not live but by every what? Rhema that comes out of the mouth of God. Yet, I believe God speaks to us every day in different contexts and situations, circumstances with people, places, and things. Rhema words from heaven to bring heaven to earth, and we're missing them. Why? He tells us there's three fundamental reasons. There are three fundamental, we're called Rhema squelchers. And today we're just going to look at the first. We want to look at these carefully because this is the game plan. The Lord literally gave us the game plan of the enemy to prevent us from hearing the quickened word that can enact supernatural power. And I was thinking about this, and it's very effective. The enemy is in this area. He's very effective. I would submit he succeeds more times than he fails. Why? And that's why it's important for us to understand the scriptures given us to warn us. So, we're going to verse 19. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and understands it not, Then comes the wicked one and catches away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receives seed by the wayside. That's what we're going to look at this morning. Here he's saying, in fact, listen, I looked at this in different versions. I have this wonderful software. You can do it on the screen. Different versions said, understands it not, doesn't take the word in. Oh, listen to this. The sense of the word is not clear to him. In other words, what he's saying, when somebody get a rhema word, they don't understand what God's saying, or it's not clear, or they're clueless or confused, or something's distracting, guess what? A demon snatches it out of their heart. Literally, you lose it. You use it, or you... Did you know the devil can read your mind? I had somebody, a kind of a national figure, high-level spiritual warfare leader, who travels all over the world in conferences, and I was in ministry with this person many years ago, and this woman told me she didn't believe the devil could read our mind. I thought that is so fundamentally a deception. How could the demon recognize that you understand it not, but that it's able to read your mind? Do you understand? There's a being that's able to tell, are you getting the sense of this rhema? Are you grabbing hold of what God just said? Here you are in a situation, a circumstance, a divine encounter, and God has just spoken to you, a rhema word, which in other contexts you'd respond, because we all, as believers, respond to rhema words in some context, maybe in church or in a quiet time. But in this situation, God spoke a rhema, but you're dull. You're dull, you're preoccupied, you're spiritually focused on something else, and so you don't get the sense, you know, guess what, the demon snatches it out of your mind. Literally, theft. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He snatches the rhema word. I wrote here, if you're too dull to get it, it's gone. And there ain't a one of us in the room that hadn't happened. We're in a war, and the war is so intimate that God will speak a still small voice to you about a situation, circumstance, taboo, and a faith exploit, and the demon is right there to see, did you get that? And if you didn't, hey, got it. Do you understand the war he's describing it? So it's incumbent upon us to recognize war and to recognize, in fact, different versions read this, the demon comes and catches away, this snatches it away, quickly takes it, or plucks it out. Now, what I want to focus on this morning, Ecclesiastes 10:10, it's a couple of verses, to eliminate this problem in our life. I want to be at the point where when the Lord speaks a word, all right, when the ball is lateraled off to me, I can run for yardage instead of somebody snatching it out of my arms. And Ecclesiastes 10:10 really focuses on the problem and the solution. Y'all know what Ecclesiastes is? It's right after Proverbs. This is an amazing verse. I'm going to share it to you in different versions. Ecclesiastes 10:10, if the iron is blunt and you don't, a cold King James, sharpen or whet the edge, you have to put more strength. Wisdom is profitable to direct. Let me read how the NIV reads. You ready? If your axe is dull and its edge is unsharpened, it's going to take more strength. How many of y'all ever tried to cut meat with a dull knife? Right? Whereas what could slice through revolves a lot more because it's, so what he's saying, if you sharpen it, the cutting is a lot more smoother, quicker, and efficient. Well, he's teaching us something here. I really don't think this is a scripture focused primarily on cooking utensils. I think he's teaching us something here that when you are dull spiritually, when your axe is not sharp, okay, when you're kind of worn out on the edges and you're dull, guess what? It's going to be difficult to get through life because you don't have much discernment. Stuff's going to come at you and you're not going to know where it's coming from. You can't connect the dots and you just get going to confuse. The enemy comes with confusion. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Life takes much more effort without discernment. Opportunities go by and you're clueless. You know, one thing I'll say about when I talk to people about hiring them, my business, I'll say, have you ever heard the phrase, when opportunity knocks, at least look through the window? A lot of people, opportunities come their way and they're clueless. They don't see. And so their life is filled with wish-itis. I talked about that Friday night. Wish-itis. I've had a bunch of wish-itis. I'm tired of wish-itis. Don't want to have any more wish-itis. I remember when Apple was 19 and a half. And Thomas came to me once and said, you like that company. You ought to buy into companies you like. Guess what? I didn't. You know what that stock is now? 170. That's called a wish outta. How many, and just in the financial, how many had opportunities come along your way and you had good intentions, but you didn't make a good choice? And now you look back, if only Ida. Huh? Come on. But you know the good news? As long as you're breathing, Holy Ghost is going to send another opportunity. I really don't want to keep, and in my life, one of the worst things in life is to end it with regrets of the opportunities you missed. It's one thing somebody said to make mistakes. That's one thing. It's another thing to miss opportunities. Because mistakes, hey, we all make mistakes. But to not take an opportunity, that will cause a sense of regret. That's a sense of just, darn. And you know what? A lot of times it's because we're confused, and it's exactly what God's doing. I believe there are supernatural opportunities He's given all of us. I believe this past week, there were opportunities the Holy Ghost gave, seeds of rhema that fell in our ground. And we're going to see the next week, it fell on soil in our soul, and there was a problem. Either it was thorny ground, or it was stony ground, or it was here where you didn't comprehend. There's three things. We're going to look at these. There's a reason we're not manifesting rhema. We're going to look at the stony ground and the thorny ground. Today we're looking at just cluelessness, spiritual dullness. And I wrote here, listen, to the degree that you're dull, to that degree you're potentially deceived, tooled around, gullible, and conned. Tooled around, gullible, and conned. Now, we're going to just look at some verses in Proverbs. I did a word study. This is amazing. Look at this. Proverbs 7:6. I just want to look at some Proverbs about people that don't have understanding and the consequences of not having understanding. Because it was not having understanding. You opening your Bible there? There you go. I knew you were. It's good to look at the verse. When you don't have understanding, the enemy's going to snatch it out of your way. Look at this. Proverbs 7:6. For at the window of my house I looked through my casement. I beheld among the simple ones, I discerned among the youths, a young man void of understanding. New American Standard reads, a young man lacking sense. Now folks, I won't go any further, but it talks about how this young man, subsequent to this verse, got seduced, got beguiled, got enticed, got trapped, got sucked into something that almost, or for all we know, destroy him. And yet, it starts, he was looking at the window, he saw, here's a guy, clueless, walking around, spiritually clueless, that the enemy, like a spider, is sitting over there on the edge of the web, and he's going, oh, look at the glistening web. No clue that it's got sticky stuff on it. Once you hit it, you're gone. I really believe the solution, in this context, how do you avoid the enticement of the evil one, the seductions and the entrapments of the evil one. You know what it is? It's to be aggressive and do faithful exploits. If you spend all your life trying not to fall into evil and trying not to be deceived, you're going to be deceived. But if you recognize, greater is he that's in me, I'm going to go out there and take the ball and run yardage. I'm going to do, guess what? The enemy's left on you. You understand? It's an attitude. If you walk in the Spirit, you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. Now look at another one, 12:11. This is just people without understanding, which was the rhema snatcher, the first rhema squelcher. Proverbs 12:11. He that tills his bread will be satisfied. He that tills his land will be satisfied with bread. Now listen to this. King James reads, he that follows vain persons is void of understanding. Listen how other versions read. Vain things, or another version reads, goes after foolish men. You know what he's saying here? Someone that is dull, spiritually disconnected, can't connect the dots, not sharp in the spirit. You know what they tend to be? They tend to be led astray by men. They follow vain men. They're the ones that follow. They fill the churches with the smooth talkers, the easy speakers, the ones that will tickle their ears. They're not like Bereans who will search out to see whether what they say is so. They just flow like dumb sheep. Follow whoever comes along. Flashy rhetoric, smooth talk, and charismatic figures swoop thousands. Most charismatics today are deceived under the seduction of smooth, vain men. Scripture is amply evidenced with you ought to look at the character and the lifestyle and the greed of those to whom you follow. Scripture is real clear about that in the New Testament. And yet you have people, the twisting of the teaching today is that I am the charismatic leader, and because I have a Rolls Royce, two Rolls Royce, mind you, flying my own personal jet, I own a $2 million home, it's because evidence that God is with me, follow me. And yet Scripture plainly says in 1 Timothy 6 that those they say gain is godliness, from such turn away. You know, Christ is going to call them accountable to what Scripture says. And the reason is they're spiritually dull. They're just absolutely dull. There's no searching of the Word themselves. There's no fasting and seeking Jesus. There's a deception of a guy. And I'll tell you what, the real judgment's going to come on those blind leaders of the blind. Look at another one, 17:18. These are all fruits of not having understanding where the rhema would be snatched away. 17:18 reads, a man void of understanding, here it is again, strikes hands and becomes surety in the presence of his friend. You can look at that in different versions. Basically, the idea is you're taking up someone else's debt. It's an old term for you going up and securing someone else's debt under your own collateral. That is a very unwise thing to do, by and large. It may be instances where, let's say, a father wants his son and his new bride to buy a house, and he says, I'll co-sign. There are instances where it's legit. But to go and just arbitrarily take up someone's debt, you invariably can be burned. And the Scripture is real clear that it's a lot of business dealings, a lot of financial matters. People are clueless. And what I think the revelation of 17:18 is, a foolish man is unwise in financial matters. He makes choices lacking wisdom. He's dull out of greed rather than wise, analyzing, seeking wisdom is in the multitude of counselors. They just leap, get rich quick. He that makes haste to be rich shall not be innocent. How many people are just sold a bill of goods because somebody promises them some get rich quick thing? You know, if you get it quick, you know, you can lose it quick. Get rich quick. Get poor quick. They find themselves needlessly in debt or living beyond their means. And as a result, because the debtor is servant to the lender, they're preoccupied, so they're negligent of rhema. Their emotions and their soul is caught up in this world in fear and frustration, and get up every day embroiled in debt. And guess what? They're clueless that God's trying to speak to them to evidence the kingdom and people around. One of the things I like about what I do, and Bo's with me in the business, we sit down with people and we help people get out of these nightmare scenarios. That's why I really like what we do. We help people get to fiscal responsibility, basic principles of living within your means, cutting up the credit cards, It's amazing the deception and the bondage it puts in people's lives. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Having significant credit card debt can be a real drag on your spiritual life. It's just kind of ever there. But praise God, there's always a way to stop and turn around and go the other way. But again, how do people get in that first place? Spiritual naivety? Dullness? I'm just fortunate. It's pure grace. No other reason. Nothing other than grace. The fact that I was brought up under a dad who taught me some basic principles about this early on. About not being in debt, about saving, about paying things off early. Praise God. Basic stuff that's in the Word. And in my latter years, I'm blessed. God's provided. He's blessed me. And the same thing can be for you. You kids, hear what I'm saying. Learn these principles wisely and truly in your early years. You'll have a blessed life. Okay, well, what's another one? 18:2, just two more. Chapter 18, verse 2. Listen to this. King James says, a fool has no delight in understanding, but that his heart may discover itself. Isn't that interesting? A fool has no delight in understanding. He's not interested in gaining wisdom or comprehension or understanding of spiritual matters. He's focused on self-centeredness. You know, he reads books like Become a Better You or Your Best Life Now, for books that are all just spiritual marshmallows, mush. It is. It's the very focus of modern evangelical world today. No delight in understanding and wisdom. There's a scripture that says, call understanding your kinswoman, in early in Proverbs. Call wisdom your sister. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, with all thy getting, get wisdom and also get understanding in Proverbs. Proverbs, I think it's 4. Scripture, first 9 chapters of Proverbs. Let me tell you something, guys. You want a good life? Read Proverbs. I don't think it's a mistake. There's 31 chapters. And there's 31 days in our month. I read a chapter of Proverbs every day. Today, I read Proverbs 4. All right? I do. I've been doing that the last 6-7 months. And every day I read the chapter. You know what, guys? That would be the wisest. If parents teach your kids, if nothing else, read the proverb of the day. Now, granted, that you won't read about the virtuous women, but about 5 times a year. Chapter 30 and 31 will kind of be not as frequent, but it's interesting. Chapter 30 wasn't written by Solomon. All the way up to 29 was Solomon stuff. Chapter 30 starts up with some other guy named Agor. Igor. It's good stuff. But I'm telling you, God wants to give us wisdom in your mind and your understanding and comprehension. It's not some flighty na-na. You know, God gave us minds, intelligence. And the word from God often comes in our spirit, but it's through the mind. You've got to be, you snatch it because the demons look at your mind. And if you're too dull or preoccupied with, like I said, one of the 3 Ramah squelchers, he'll snatch it up. And the last place we're going to look this morning, 21:16, last place. Look at this. The man that wanders out of the way of understanding shall remain in the congregation of the dead. Did you ever hear the phrase dead church? There it is. The congregation of the dead. You know what? Why do people sit in churches that are dead? Why do they sit? Because they have no spiritual understanding. They're feeding on ashes and dreams and smooth tales. Their spiritual tiredness lulls them into a spiritual sleep. And they don't get up and come out from among them and flee. You know, I had a prayer I prayed, guys. I was at a church in the early 70s. It was a wonderful church. God led me there supernaturally right after I got saved in 72. I traveled around the United States with this ministry. I was indebted to the pastor. He was like my first spiritual father. That's where I learned the word. I studied week after week, month after month, 5 and 6 teachings a week. No, I'm sorry, 11 or 12 teachings a week. It schooled me. It trained me. It was my foundation. And yet, you know what? After a year there, I began to pray this prayer. And the prayer was this. It was, Lord, I want the truth and the whole truth, no matter who it separates me from or puts me with. Early on, I said, Lord, I want the truth. I don't care who I'm associated with in this life, where I got to go. Don't let me be ever trapped in any work, in any make an idol out of any church or man or woman, so that I follow them rather than you, Jesus, and so rip me out. And that's my prayer. I don't care who you got to separate me from or put me with. I want the truth and the whole truth. Prayed that, and God enabled me. That church was like a ship fixing to hit the rocks. And right before it hit the rocks, I stepped off. Just stepped off. Out of nowhere, I left. Everybody was amazed. Why is he leaving? You know, I was one of the leaders. I was the first one they ever sent up to Virginia. And I was one of the strong young men, fanatical young men, passionate, sat on the front row. Instead of you young men way back there in the 5th row. Look at that, man. I remember the days y'all used to be up here. Oh, I'm kidding, Razin. You know what? God is good. And I'd stepped on that boat, stayed there 11 years. You know, I remember praying that in the last couple of years there. Dude, I was able to step off that boat in another one. You know, that's the prayer to pray. God doesn't want us to stay in dead places. Amen. This is a mobile. This is an ongoing. It's about the kingdom. And it grieves me, people that just get stuck. You've got to pay for it for eternity. So how many of y'all want understanding? Wisdom. So when God quickens a word to you, and he might do it this afternoon or tomorrow morning, wouldn't you like it when you're like at CVS drugstore standing in line, you know, to buy something, and you just kind of, you know, sitting there and kind of look at your watch, and And the Holy Ghost is trying to talk to you about that lady over there with her little kid. You know, how many of y'all know the Holy Ghost is really interested in you being used to bring the kingdom? How many of you like to be clear enough in the Spirit that right there you say, yes, Lord, what are you saying to me? It's a rhema. And you know what he does? The way that, I'm going to talk about the language of the Spirit. The language of the Spirit is like this. It's, you got to get it, man. It's like somebody said, it's not a whisper, it's a whisk. Then you get to the purr. And so you catch it, and I've seen it, little flashes. It'll be like you just kind of look at somebody, suddenly there's a flash in your mind, the word cancer. Or the thought, you know, hurting. Or a concept, or a feeling. When somebody go, what's that? Right? It's a rain. Wouldn't it be cool to go, thank you, Lord. You want me to do a faith experience. This is where it takes faith. Excuse me, ma'am. Yeah? So what do I do now, Lord? Are you struggling with something right now? I just felt like God's told me that you need some prayer. You're hurting. You've kind of gone through a significant issue in your life. It has something to do with depression. Woman starts bawling, breaking down, crying right there. She, oh my God. Can I pray for you? Start praying for her right there in the line. Of course, you lose your place in the line, you know. Start praying for her. The kids come out. And all of a sudden, kingdom opera. You understand what I'm saying? I heard of a story recently in a department store in California. A kid was, he was standing at the thing and where you check out, and he got this word that somebody, he got a word of knowledge in it standing, and you know how you get words of knowledge in front of a church and you say someone's got, he got it standing in the aisle like at a Kroger. So he asked the lady, can I see your mic? He took the mic and he spoke to the whole store. Someone here has, and he named the ailment he was deserting. In the store, over the mic. Come up to aisle whatever. They put the mic back. About a minute later, some lady comes down with a basket and she was just like, her eyes like that, but she had the ailment. He went over there and prayed for her. She got healed. And they had a revival. I mean, pray, is that cool or what? You say, yeah, guts. Yeah, he did a faith exploit. That was so powerful. That testimony has gone all over the country. I'm sharing it with you right now. Can you know what I mean? How many of y'all know there are people in stores that have needs, and somebody needs a word of knowledge, have the guts to step out there? That's the kingdom. Amen? Who wants understanding? Let's all stand. Lord, I pray. You said, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask God. You have no problem dispensing and dispersing and gracing. Right now, I want you to ask the Lord to forgive you. Say this up to me. Jesus, forgive me for my dullness, preoccupation, seeking first the things of myself and the things I need, and deprioritizing the kingdom. Well, when I'm sensitive to the kingdom, what I need will come back manyfold. I pray for wisdom, understanding, discernment, clarity in the spirit world. I am sick of the enemy, squelching and snatching words of living life that come from heaven. Oh Lord, don't give up on me. Don't quit speaking to me. Have mercy on me. Shout in my ear if you have to. Whatever you gotta do, Jesus, use me for thy kingdom's sake. In Jesus' name.